Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's June 11, 2016, and this is episode 531. Last week, as I sat down to record the previous episode of this podcast, a thunderstorm set in. I decided to continue to try and record the show because I wanted to release it on schedule. But within seconds, the second or third crack of thunder was huge, sounding as though it had actually hit our apartment or very near to it. A flood of error messages started to appear on the screen of my iMac, and all of the external hard drives had been disconnected. I'd taken a lightning strike, seemingly right on the nose. The storm moved on quickly, but I now had the job of finding out what had been affected, which took me another hour or so and pushed last week's podcast episode over to a Tuesday release instead of my usual Monday schedule. First of all, I was relieved to see my hard drives reconnect, and the data on them seemed fine. I have backups of everything, but restoring them is a pain and generally something I like to avoid doing. Then I started to get messages requesting that I sign into my Apple account so that I could continue to use some of the Apple apps that I use. As I entered my password and tried to sign back in, I was told that an error had occurred, and I realized at that point that I'd lost my internet connection. Then I looked down at my Apple AirPort Extreme router and saw that the indicator light was flashing orange, which means that something's wrong. I reset my cable modem, but the flashing orange persisted, so I called the cable company to see if there was a problem their end. I was hoping that this would be the case so that I could simply wait for them to fix it. On their advice, I tried connecting the Ethernet cable from the cable modem directly to the back of the iMac, but there was still nothing. The cable company then told me that the line up to the cable modem looked fine, but there was no computer plugged into it. So I grabbed my MacBook Pro and plugged the Ethernet cable directly into that from the cable modem, and I was connected to the internet, which indicates that there was a problem with my iMac. I have a Belkin Thunderbolt hub attached to my iMac, which has an Ethernet port built into it, so I plugged the cable into that and I was connected to the internet immediately. At this point, I knew that the lightning strike had fried at least the Ethernet port on my iMac. I then plugged the cable back into the AirPort Extreme router and plugged that back into the Belkin Hub Ethernet port, and again there was nothing. The indicator light continued flashing orange even after a cable modem reboot, so I did a factory reset on the AirPort Extreme, but it didn't come back to life. It had also been fried. If we think about this, it probably means that the electrical surge had come in through my telecoms cable, had not affected my Motorola cable modem, but had taken out the Apple components. So well done, Motorola, on that. As luck would have it, or not, depending on how you look at it, when I went into my studio on Monday morning to start preparing last week's podcast episode, as I touched the back of the iMac to find the power switch, there was a large cracking sound and the iMac slumped forward. The hinge had broken. So I already had been on to Apple support and had the iMac booked in for repairs anyway. I called Apple up again and told them about this new issue, and they made a note to look at both issues at the same time. To cut a long story short-ish, the courier came to pick up my iMac at 7:30 p.m. on the Tuesday night, and it arrived back on Thursday morning, with the hinge fixed and a note saying that the logic board had been replaced due to the surge damage. Because I had paid for AppleCare for the iMac, I wasn't charged for the repairs or the super speedy postage, so that was great. Unfortunately though, there is no AppleCare for the fried AirPort Extreme router, So I had to drive to a nearby PC store and pick up another one on the Tuesday morning. Life without internet is too difficult these days, and the Apple Store were going to take a day longer to deliver a new one, and that just wasn't going to happen. So by lunchtime on Tuesday, I was back online, and by Thursday lunchtime, I was back working with my iMac. But this really put me back to where I was at 5 p.m. on Monday. So all of my electrical equipment was still vulnerable to lightning strikes, although I'd already started to order some bits and pieces to remedy this. And I'm going to share what I've found with you now in the hope that it might help you to protect your gear too. If you aren't already covered and have it all under control, that is. The first thing I did was to check the power strips that I'd been using. I think that the strike came in mainly over my cable wire, not the power, but on Monday evening, an LED light bulb on my stairs blew as soon as I turned it on. The bulb was only about 2 years old and only turned on a few times each day, just for a few minutes, but it's rated at 30,000 hours. So it's a bit too much of a coincidence that it blew straight after this strike. I crawled under my desk to check the two power strips that I use and was slightly embarrassed to find that they were to reduce noise, not to protect from power surges. Ironically, over the last year or so, I've gradually been buying power surge protectors for various places around the house and even put one on my printer and battery charging outlets a few weeks ago. But I had wrongly assumed that the most important place in the house, my office workstation, and internet was all protected, and it wasn't. So I started to look around at what was available, and was surprised to find a Japanese brand of power strip that had integrated coax cable surge protection, so I could protect my telecommunications cable connection as well as the power. I ordered one of these straight away, but I needed more than one because I have a separate coax cable coming into the house downstairs for our home phone and TV, and it seems that I bought the last power strip of a now discontinued product line. So after coming up dry on Amazon.co.jp, I searched on Amazon.com and found the AP Surge Arrest power strip, also with coax cable protection that you can see in the photograph that I've embedded in the blog post and into the Enhanced podcast right now. If you don't see the image, you can go and look at them on the blog at mbp.ac/531. There are a number of variations, but I bought the one with the TEL/DSL and network protection as well, although I'm thinking that I only need to feed the coax through this, as my phone comes through the coax as well as my internet. I'll include links to the APC Surge Arrest on B&H and Amazon.com in the blog post. As you can see, it has 11 power outlets that are all surge protected as well. So this, in addition to the next piece of equipment that I'll talk about, have me covered at my office desk now. I used the Japanese power strip downstairs for the coax and power for my TV and cable modem, etc. I don't want to risk frying my precious 4K television. As I searched around for something to buy, though, I did find out something very important. Apparently, the surge protection on these power strips has an effective lifespan. It runs out over time. As you can see in this photo, there is a protection working lamp that illuminates when the power strip is plugged in, and this goes out when the effectiveness of the surge protection runs out. APC state on the box for the Surge Arrest power strip that you can call them for a replacement if this light goes out, but I don't know if that's for free or not, although the unit does come with a lifetime warranty. Interestingly, if you live in the US or Canada, you also get $300,000 lifetime connected equipment protection, From the reviews on Amazon.com, it seems that some people have been successful in claiming and some have not. So you'd need to decide yourself if this is important to you. By the way, if you do pick up one of these APC Surge Arrest power strips, note that they come with a coax, telephone and Ethernet cable, so you don't have to buy these separately. APC also throw in a couple of cable ties, all for just $28. The other thing that had been playing on my mind is that when the lightning struck, my iMac screen dimmed for a moment, which could have been caused by the surge through the Ethernet cable, but a few other appliances in the house were reset, so it's likely that we had a momentary power outage. This is probably what caused my hard drives to power down, or perhaps it was a loss of power to the iMac. Either way, I started looking around for a suitable UPS unit for my workstation. UPS stands for Uninterruptible Power Supply, and I'm familiar with these from my previous life in IT. We used to have some of our important servers connect to these units in case of sudden power failures. Japan has pretty reliable power, but there are times when it goes pear-shaped, and this lightning strike was one of them. I looked at the capacity and prices and decided to get an APC Smart UPS 500J, which is a 500 volt ampere unit, and I can't actually find that available outside of Japan, which is probably what the J in the name means. The closest model for this on B&H Photo Video on Amazon is the APC Smart UPS 750 VA LCD 120 volt. Japan actually uses 100 volt for appliances, so the 750 VA version may just be what you need to get the same protection in the US. My calculations for power requirements were pretty good though. With my iMac, two Drobo 5D hard drives, my Mackie mixer, a Time Machine hard drive, my BenQ display, my cable modem, telephone and AirPort Extreme, all connected to my Smart UPS 500J unit, I'm running at about 65% of the unit's full capacity. I should mention that the UPS I bought only has 6 power outlets built in, so I have my two modems, my AirPort Extreme and my telephone power adapter, plugged into a 4-port power strip that's built into my desk, and I've plugged my desk into the UPS unit. I would be nervous about doing this blindly, but as you power on equipment, the LED information panel on the unit tells you exactly how much power you're using. With all of these devices powered up, including both of my Drobo 5D hard drives, which both have 5 3.5-inch hard drives inside, I'm still well under the capacity for the 500J UPS unit, and that gives me 20 minutes of battery-powered operation in the case of a power outage. APC have not done a good job of supporting the Mac OS though, so we only have some simple shutdown options on the computer under the energy-saving preferences. These come from the Mac OS, not APC. Once you connect a UPS unit with a USB cable, you will see a UPS tab with just a couple of options, including dimming the display when on UPS power, just like you'll see on laptops. And you can also choose to display the UPS status in the menu bar. The important thing here is to click on the shutdown options and select how you would like the computer to shut down in case of a prolonged power outage. On my iMac, despite the UPS being connected for 4 days or so now, it still isn't passing the remaining time information to the iMac, but it is passing current charge information. Because of this, I've selected for my iMac to power down if the UPS unit's battery power drops to 10%. This should give my computer plenty of time to power down before the battery runs out, while giving me around 15 minutes to either see if the power comes back or to finish what I'm doing and save my work. The other great benefit of running all of my key equipment through the UPS unit is that they condition the power, and it includes surge protection. So I now have every piece of electrical equipment at my desk surge protected, and I could continue to work for a good 15 minutes or so in the case of a power outage. If you only wanted power conditioning and enough time to power down your computer, there are cheaper, smaller units. The Smart UPS 500J is a good size, as you can see in this photo, because it needs to house a large battery. This photo shows 6 hours and 23 minutes of runtime, but that's because it was on my table with nothing plugged in. After shooting this photo, I put it under my desk and watched that runtime drop to 20 minutes as I powered up all of my appliances. That's plenty for my use, so at under $200 for the APC Smart UPS 500J, I'm really happy with my decision to pick one of these up. I also want to mention for anyone that might be listening in Japan that both the Smart UPS unit and the APC Surge Arrest power strip require an earth connection. In Japan, it's not common to have earth pins on power outlets, so I had to run a single earth cable from my air conditioning unit down to my desk power outlets and connect the earth cable from a 3-pin to 2-pin plug adapter that we see in this photo. If you don't connect the earth, on the APC surge arrest power strip, the building wiring fault indicator will light up. Also note that if you have a power outlet with a screw-in earth connection built in, you might also see this indicator light up if you have the two pins of this kind of adapter the wrong way around. For me, at least, it feels more natural to have the earth pin at the top because that's how the UK plugs are, but it would seem that this pin has to be at the bottom. For most Japanese appliances, we never have to worry about this because they can be plugged in either way, but it makes a difference with these surge-protected power strips. Although unrelated to surge protection, there are a couple of other things that I did over the last week that might be valuable to you, so I'd like to mention these before we wrap up. The first one is that after I had connected my iMac directly to the cable modem via the Ethernet port on my Belkin hub, I did a speed test on my internet connection using speedtest.net. I just wanted to check that it was not slow, but I was blown away to see that I was getting around 255 megabits per second as opposed to the usual 60 or 70 megabits per second that I generally see. After I bought the replacement Apple AirPort Extreme router, I connected that up to my MacBook Pro running over the Ethernet port on the Belkin hub as my iMac was still in hospital, and the speed dropped back down to around 65 Mbps, so the AirPort Extreme was slowing down my internet speed. I did a bit of poking around online and found that in the AirPort utility that comes with the macOS, if you look under the Wireless tab, then click Wireless Options, there are two pulldowns for 2.4 GHz and 5 GHz channels. Leaving these at the default settings of automatic slows down your internet connection. If you have a lot of other wireless network signals coming into your building, you might need to try a few different numbers to get a good channel, but I just selected 10 for the 2.4 GHz channel and 36 for the 5 GHz channel, and retried the speedtest.net test, and my internet connection was back up at 255 megabits per second. I couldn't believe it. I'd been using my internet at a quarter of the speed since I bought my original AirPort Extreme 3 years ago. Also, in case you're wondering, after I got the iMac back and fed my internet connection through the coax surge protection on the APC surge arrest power strip, I ran the speed test again, and I can detect no difference in speed. I'm still getting 256 megabits per second with surge protection, so I'm over the moon about this. Note too that I know this is the wireless settings that I changed, but it does affect the wired Ethernet cable speed. That's what I was testing here, not the wireless speed. One last tidbit of information that I'd like to leave you with before we finish is that while my iMac was in hospital, I used my MacBook Pro to continue my work. Because the MacBook Pro only has two USB ports, though, I found myself having to connect various devices depending on what I was currently working on. And it can be a real pain if you have to keep tracing the cord back to each device to find out what to unplug and plug in, etc. To make this easier, I used a Brother PTouch PT-P750W label printer to make a 12mm wide label for each of my devices and wrap the label around each USB and Thunderbolt cable, as you can see in this photo. As I untangled the power cables under my desk, I gradually applied labels to each of my devices as well to make it easier to unplug individual devices as necessary. As you can see from the label maker software on the screen of my MacBook Pro in the photo, I simply made each label just over twice the length of the device name, and this allowed me to wrap the label around the cable and stick it back onto itself so that the sticky parts weren't left exposed to gather dust. Okay, so here's a quick roundup of what I learned from this experience. Firstly, I should have been better at checking my current power strips. I was using noise protection power strips that I bought over 20 years ago and had wrongly assumed that these were surge protected. Also, I had never really considered that power surges could come in over cable TV and telephone lines. Because my phone comes over the same coaxial cable as my internet and downstairs comes in with the cable TV, I needed coax surge protection on two of my new power strips. If your telephone and internet come in over different cables, consider something like the APC surge arrest unit that I bought with individual telephone and network surge protection in addition to the coax cable protection. If there is a fear of losing data due to power outage, also consider a UPS unit for your work critical devices. If you're going to plug in a few external hard drives and a second display, the 500J or the 750 AV that I talked about are a good choice. Another thing that I will consider moving forward, though, is actually powering down and unplugging my computer and router, etc., during a thunderstorm. I believe that these devices will do a great job of protecting my gear, but another very close or direct strike might still overwhelm the surge protection. I won't unplug everything every time I leave the house, but if I'm around during a storm, I'll certainly consider this. I know that this episode isn't directly related to photography, but as we all use a computer at some level, even I would imagine film shooters do these days as well, I thought that I'd relay what I've learned over the last week in the hope that it might help you to protect your systems as well. I feel fortunate that I only had a few things fried, and I was able to get them fixed or replaced relatively easily. It could have been a lot worse, so I don't want to risk that happening again. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes as well, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.